Good morning. This morning's scripture is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 49 to 56, from the New Revised Standard Version. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already ablaze. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, 'It is going to rain,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" This is the word of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As we begin our reflection this morning, I'd like you to just take a moment and think about someone you love very, very much. Spouse, partner, friend, child, parent. You love them so much, and more than once, maybe all the time, they've given you just a little bit of anxiety and trembling right before they open their mouth. You love them completely, and yet you could honestly say they are your loved one without the filter, right? Maybe. You know somebody like that? You love somebody like that? I think if you don't know somebody like that, or you don't love somebody like that, you're the one who's like that. That's right. Yeah, that's what it is. I know I'm that person for a lot of people. I know that I am. I've found that many people have somebody like that in their life. I've discovered that from officiating at weddings. Just last month, I performed a wedding of a young couple. The groom, I knew him, he was in my youth group at the Baptist church growing up, and now he's, you know, in his 30s, and I was meeting with he and his bride-to-be, and I asked them if they were going to write their own vows, and Kenny got this little devilish look in his eyes, and I knew what that meant, that he really wanted to write his own vows. And his bride, Kelsey, she said, "Oh boy, he wants to write his own vows, but there's no way I'd ever let him. I'd never let him, because I know what he'll say. You know, I know he'll just embarrass me." And they laughed about that, and they said, "Yeah, that's why your brother's not going to give the speech at the wedding, right?" So, you know, and also at memorial services too, especially for a memorial service for a patriarch or a matriarch who's lived many decades, and the family is gathering to give just thanks for a beautiful life well lived, and somebody will take me aside furtively and just say, "Look, you know, if during the remembrance thing, if Aunt Robin has the mic for longer than 2 minutes, if she starts going into that one story about the time out in Colorado, just kind of like pull the plug or something, you know, right?" So do you have a loved one like that? Where will you love them? You're proud of who they are, but sometimes they say things that are just a little bit embarrassing. Well, I have to tell you, I find what Jesus says today to be very embarrassing. I do. I had invited someone to come today from our dancing group, and I was kind of relieved that she didn't come. I know, I was, because she is a practicing Buddhist. She had a kind of a difficult time growing up, you know, in the church. She hadn't been there in a while, and she's like, "Yeah, maybe I'll come one Sunday," you know. And boy, I'm so glad she didn't come this week, because here's my savior, this Prince of Peace that I've been defending all the time, that I've been saying, "No, he's not like that. He's not like what you see on TV. He's not this guy who's going to divide." Here he is. Claire, did you make that up? There he is. And every time I had to pick this text, a while ago, I knew I couldn't change it. Oh, I wanted to change it. You know, as a lectionary preacher, we have text to pick from. But just because I wanted to change it so badly, I knew I shouldn't. But this passage is difficult. Because you and I, none of us need to be reminded. We know what's going on in the world, in the country, in our city. We know in our homes. We know that division exists. We know that there are more than 110 armed conflicts going on in the world right now. We know that many who hold power in the world today have been convicted of crimes against humanity. We know that there are some brothers and sisters, parents and children, who haven't talked to each other for reasons that they may or may not remember. And we know that even church meetings can become contentious. They can drag on for hours about what color to paint the Sunday school room. Honest to goodness, we had one where we fought over whether to have hot dogs and hamburgers at the Christian education picnic. We did. We had both. It was all right. And so, I don't know about you, but one of the reasons why I've always been drawn to the person of Jesus of Nazareth, why I am a Christian, is because of how I experience God through the stories and the life of the Christ. Because for me, Jesus is the turn the other cheek guy. I've spent so much of my life trying to explain that God is not the God that some people see on TV. Because think about it. And I've come to know many of you, and some of you I've known a lot of your story, and some of you I know some of your story. Some of us have been going to church for a long time, and we had good church experiences. But hold on to that for just a second. Now, if you've had a good church experience, if you've been raised in a church that was good and healthy, and you haven't had a crisis of faith that led you away from the church for a time, that's wonderful. Just suspend that for just a moment and put yourself in a different headspace. Imagine instead that you grew up in a home where you weren't taught much about God. And that God was a nice idea, maybe real, maybe not, just a nice idea. But basically just be kind and good, and that's about all you need to know. And then you went to school, and in history class, you learned about Christianity, and you learned that during the Crusades, these Christians killed between 1 and 3 million people to spread the good news. And then you learned about the Inquisition. And then you learned, you know, in Nazi Germany, the belt buckles, they said, "God is with us above and underneath the swastika." And then maybe you heard Pat Robertson on the news talk about how the earthquake in Haiti was a blessing in disguise because the people of Haiti made a pact with the devil 200 years ago. You know. And now you see white supremacists and Christian nationalists marching with signs praising God and Jesus and telling all foreigners to be sent home. And what if all you knew about the Christian faith, what if that was all you knew about the Christian faith? Would you be excited to learn more about this Jesus guy? I wouldn't. But I've been lucky. I've met Jesus and I keep meeting him in different ways, in different people, in different churches. And I'm assuming you have too, because we're all still here. So wait, I don't like this guy that we're meeting here today in Luke's gospel. This is the Jesus who embarrasses me. This is the Jesus who confuses me. Jesus, peaceful Jesus, the one who just last week in the lectionary, said, little flock, do not be afraid. Now he's saying, you think I came to bring peace? Well, guess what, Jesus? Yeah, that's why we call you the Prince of Peace. So why couldn't he have softened this message just a little bit? He doesn't need to promise us division. We've got divisions on top of segments, on top of fractures, on top of offshoots, on top of fragments and shards. So Jesus, if you didn't come to bring peace, what did you come for? But if you were here last week, we thought about the different ways that the Bible can be read as literature, as history, and how we as Christians, we have the right and the responsibility to read it through the lens of Christ, through the lens of Jesus, through the lens of love. And so if we do that, if we read this passage knowing all that we know about Jesus, the way he shared, the way he lived, the way he died, we know that, yes, he did come to bring peace. And we know also that there are different ways of achieving peace. There are peacekeepers, and there are peacemakers. And the truth is, we all have a little bit of both in us. Have you ever been a peacekeeper? I know I have, and that's okay. I mean, sometimes it's okay to be a peacekeeper, like when you're trying to decide what the whole family's going to watch on Netflix that night. It's okay to, as my grandma would say, go along to get along. But it's not good to be a peacekeeper. It becomes a lethal error, a danger when principles and morals are set aside, when a side is appeased out of fear or to garner favor. And we've seen this happen in history with the appeasement of Adolf Hitler in 1936 and 1938. That's peacekeeping. Well, there are good people on both sides. We'll just do this. Don't make them upset. Peacemaking, on the other hand, is costly and it's hard and it's painful. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. The key to his words, as the author has written them in Luke, through the lens of Christ, we read them knowing what we know about Jesus. And when Jesus says, from now on, five in one household are going to be divided. Two against three, three against two. Father against son, son against father. Jesus isn't saying that he wants that. Jesus is saying, that's not my goal, but that's what's going to happen. This is going to be hard. Like so much of what Jesus asks us to do. He asks us to love our enemies. He asks us to take care of our neighbor. And it doesn't mean that our enemies or our neighbor are going to want that. But we're asked to do those things. To do those peacemaking things. And Jesus isn't asking us to do anything that he wasn't willing to do, that he didn't do. And my goodness, he disturbed the peace, didn't he? He disturbed that thing they call the Pax Romana, that period of what they call Rome's golden years, from 27 BCE to 180 CE. Historians describe it this way, one guy, Michael Camp: in ancient Rome, the concept of bringing peace to the world wasn't anything to do with making peace to your enemy or establishing democracy. It was about conquering your enemy and ruling over them with an iron hand. Once your enemy was conquered, peace was maintained by quashing uprisings, keeping order in society, not equality, and punishing the disobedient in a way that put fear in people so they would not try to rise again. It was a peace created through military and political dominance, the extraction of resources through taxes, and fear of those in charge. The Roman emperor, they were worshipped as gods, and those who sought to disturb the peace, those criminals, the real troublemakers, the real peace disruptors, were crucified. Yes, like our Jesus. Still, it is unsettling. Following Jesus is not safe. Jesus is not meek and mild, but he is good. And his love is strong, and his love is sustaining. Jesus knew that sometimes things have to be broken to be healed. A friend of mine from the Baptist church, Betty Durr, one year at our church picnic, no less, at Devil's Elbow, maybe we shouldn't have had the church picnic there, she broke her hip. And after surgery, it didn't heal very well. She went to a different doctor, and he said, "Yeah, we're going to be able to fix this, but we got to re-break it." Yeah. But it had to be rebroken. That was part of the fixing. Some things need to be broken: abusive relationships, abusive laws, abusive systems. Jesus knew this, and he knew that was going to cause division. Jesus knew, but he also knew that it was going to bring about healing. And that's the good news of this passage. That's the part that isn't embarrassing. And that's the part that I hope that we will remember, and that will continue to be a story that we, who've loved Jesus for a long time, can share with those who are just getting to know him, so that they will come to love him as we do. Amen.